Chapter 5. Running Away. At the age of 10, I began to work for Murdstone and Grinby. My job was to wash bottles, put labels on them and pack them in boxes. Three other boys also did this job in some old, dark buildings near the River Thames. I tried to work hard, but when I thought about the happy moments from my childhood, tears fell down my cheeks while I was washing the bottles. At the end of the first day, I was introduced to my landlord, Mr. Micawber. My stepfather had arranged for me to rent a room from this gentleman, and a very unusual gentleman he was. When I arrived at his house, he introduced me to his wife and their family, a young boy aged 4, a young girl of 3, and twin babies. Mr. and Mrs. Micawber were not young, and judging by their house, they were not rich either. My first conversation with Mrs. Micawber was about how unlucky they had been and how little money they had. As time went on, they became good friends, and I helped them whenever I could. However, I never had very much money myself. While I was living with the Micawbers, many people used to come to the house looking for Mr. Micawber. Mr. Micawber tried to avoid seeing these people. He owed them money. One day, I learned that Mr. Micawber had been unable to pay his debts and had been put into a debtor's prison. Mrs. Micawber was now alone with the children and didn't know what to do. I helped her to sell most of her furniture, but she still didn't have enough money. Eventually, Mrs. Micawber left and moved into the prison with Mr. Micawber to save money. Then I had to find a small room in another house. After a short time, Mr. Micawber was released from prison as a result of a new law that helped people in debt. I visited the Micawbers and found Mr. Micawber in an optimistic mood. "Copperfield, my friend, I know that something will turn up," he told me cheerfully. "I hope so, Mr. Micawber," I answered, although I found it difficult to understand his optimistic belief that something would always turn up. "My family is wealthy," added Mrs. Micawber, "but I will never leave my husband in spite of our circumstances. I have spoken to a relative, and he says he will find Mr. Micawber a job in Plymouth." It was interesting to listen to Mr. and Mrs. Micawber. Mr. Micawber seemed to know everything, and his devoted wife admired him and listened attentively to every word he said. Although I didn't always believe what he said, Mr. Micawber was a good man, and I was sorry to see him and his family leave. Now that my friends had gone, I was even more unhappy at Murdstone and Grinby, and I decided to run away from London and to look for my Aunt Betsy. Although I didn't know her, she was my only relation, and somehow I felt certain she would help me. I also didn't know her exact address, but Peggotty had once told me she lived in a village near Dover. Before leaving, I paid a young man to carry my heavy trunk. Unfortunately, he ran away not only with my trunk, but also with all my money. I was now alone without any money, and the only things that I owned were the clothes that I was wearing. I continued on the road to Dover on foot. I sold my jacket to buy food, and I slept wherever I could find somewhere dry. Eventually, I reached my aunt's village. I asked someone where Miss Trotwood lived, and he directed me to her cottage. I was very tired and very dirty, and I wasn't sure how she would react when she saw me. I arrived at the door and knocked uncertainly. Aunt Betsy's maid appeared. "What do you want?" she asked, staring at my unwashed face. "I want to speak to Miss Trotwood, please," I answered. "To beg from her, I think," replied the maid, and she closed the door in my face. Not knowing what to do, I turned to leave. Suddenly I saw my aunt in the garden. Using all the courage and strength I had left, I walked up to her and touched her arm. "Please, ma'am, please, aunt, I am your nephew. I am David Copperfield. You were in our house on the day I was born. You met my mother. She is dead now, and I am very unhappy. My stepfather sent me to work in London. I ran away to look for you, and I was robbed on the way. I have walked all the way from London. I began to cry. Luckily, Aunt Betsy took me inside. Then she called her lodger, Mr. Dick, and told him my story. "Mr. Dick," explained my aunt, "this is my nephew, David Copperfield. I've told you about him in the past. He has been badly treated and has run away. He has come to me for help. What should I do?" Mr. Dick looked at me with great interest. He was an elderly gentleman with a round face. He looked a little strange to me, but he always had a smile on his face. Afterwards I learned that most people believed he was mad, but my aunt didn't listen to them. Whenever she had to make an important decision, she always asked Mr. Dick for advice. After thinking for a moment, Mr. Dick replied, "Well, I think the first thing you should do is give the boy a bath." "Mr. Dick, you're right once again," Aunt Betsy remarked. "Don't let anybody tell me that you're a fool." Mr. Dick seemed very pleased that he had given the correct advice. My aunt sent me with Janet, the maid, who bathed me, fed me, and took me to my bedroom. That night I prayed that this would be the start of a new and better life. The following morning, after breakfast, my aunt told me something that made me very anxious. "I have sent a letter to Mr. Murdstone informing him that you are here," she announced. "Are you going to send me back to him?" I asked. "That's for him to decide," my aunt replied. I waited anxiously until one day a letter arrived from Mr. Murdstone. The letter said that he would arrive the following day to take me back. The next day, he and Miss Murdstone arrived, and we went into the sitting room. Aunt Betsy disliked the Murdstones from the moment she saw them. "So, you married David's poor mother," she said to Mr. Murdstone. "Yes, and I have come to take her son," he answered. He then told Aunt Betsy how much trouble I had caused him, and that I was violent, aggressive, rebellious, and rude. "Of all the boys in the world, I believe he is the worst," added Miss Murdstone. "I shall take him now, and you will not interfere, Miss Trotwood," Mr. Murdstone insisted. "The boy is mine, and I will do whatever I want with him."
"Is that so?" answered my aunt. "And what do you say, David?"
Everyone looked at me.
"Please, aunt, don't send me away with that cruel man. Please let me stay here with you."
My aunt thought for a moment and said to Mr. Murdstone,
"If half of what you say is true, though I do not believe it is, it will be better if the boy stays with me. You may go now. Goodbye."
The Murdstones were angry and insulted, but my aunt left them no choice. I watched them leave with great joy in my heart. Then my aunt looked at me.
"Now we have to decide what is best for you, my boy," she said. "First of all, I shall call you Trotwood. Trotwood Copperfield."
And so I started my new life with a new name.